life may threaten the safety or disturb the repose of his sovereign. Valentinian was seldom injured and never insulted with impunity. If his prudence was arraigned, his spirit was applauded, and the proudest and most powerful generals were apprehensive of provoking the resentment of a fearless soldier. After he became master of the world, he unfortunately forgot that, where no resistance can be made, no courage can be exerted. And instead of consulting the dictates of reason and magnanimity, he indulged the furious emotions of his temper at a time when they were disgraceful to himself and fatal to the defenseless objects of his displeasure. In the government of his household or of his empire, slight or even imaginary offences, a hasty word, a casual omission, an involuntary delay, were chastised by a sentence of immediate death. The expressions which issued the most readily from the mouth of the Emperor of the West were, "Strike off his head, burn him alive, let him be beaten with clubs till he expires." And his most favoured ministers soon understood that by a rash attempt to dispute or suspend the execution of his sanguinary commands, they might involve themselves in the guilt and punishment of disobedience. The repeated gratification of this savage justice hardened the mind of Valentinian against pity and remorse, and the sallies of passion were confirmed by the habits of cruelty. He could behold with calm satisfaction the convulsive agonies of torture and death. Two fierce and enormous bears, distinguished by the appellations of Innocence and Nika Aurea, were always placed near the bedchamber of Valentinian, who frequently amused his eyes with the grateful spectacle of seeing them tear and devour the bleeding limbs of the malefactors who were abandoned to their rage. Their diet and exercises were carefully inspected by the Roman Emperor, and when Innocence had earned her discharge by a long course of meritorious service, the faithful animal was again restored to the freedom of her native woods.
Despite the personal cruelty of Valentinian, Gibbon praises this emperor for ushering in a period of religious toleration, for his condemnation of the practice of exposing newborn infants to the elements, and for establishing an educational institute in each major city of the empire. But despite a relatively lengthy period of internal tranquility, the empires of both the West and East were subject to constant threats from the barbarians of Britain, Africa, Germany, and in Asia. Valentinian died in an apoplectic rage at the age of 54, receiving the ambassadors of a Germanic tribe who were seeking his clemency. Valentinian's son Gratian was ratified as new emperor of the West in AD 375, but not without opposition. For Valentinian had two wives, and the second, Justina, claimed the purple for her son by Valentinian, who was also called Valentinian.
On the sixth day after the death of Valentinian, the infant prince of the same name, who was only 4 years old, was shown in the arms of his mother to the legions, and solemnly invested by military acclamation with the titles and ensigns of supreme power. The impending dangers of a civil war were seasonably prevented by the wise and moderate conduct of the Emperor Gratian. He cheerfully accepted the choice of the army, declared that he should always consider the son of Justina as a brother, not as a rival, and advised the Empress with her son Valentinian to fix their residence at Milan, in the fair and peaceful province of Italy, while he assumed the more arduous command of the countries beyond the Alps. Gratian dissembled his resentment till he could safely punish or disgrace the authors of the conspiracy. And though he uniformly behaved with tenderness and regard to his infant colleague, he gradually confounded, in the administration of the Western Empire, the office of a guardian with the authority of a sovereign. The government of the Roman world was exercised in the united names of Valens and his two nephews. But the feeble emperor of the East, who succeeded to the rank of his elder brother, never obtained any weight or influence in the councils of the West.